Genesis chapter number 4. In our outline, we have done chapter 1 and 2, which was creation. Then we started chapter number 3, which goes the we outlined chapter 4, verse 15, which we outlined as the curse. And we've studied in chapter 3, a fallen race. In chapter 3, a fallen race. And now in verses 1 through 15, in chapter number 4, we see a false religion. A false religion. A fallen race and a false religion. Let's read verses 1 through 15, and then we'll have a word of prayer and ask God to speak to us tonight. Verse number 1 says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? He said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, again for this passage of Scripture. I pray that, Lord, you teach us your word. And, Lord, again, open our eyes that we would behold wondrous things out of thy law. And, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd help our minds to be focused and to think on these things. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, your sweet spirit would change all of our hearts tonight. I pray that you'd help us. And, Lord, I just pray that we would leave, Lord, thinking on, Lord, this passage, thinking on what you spoke to us about, and Lord, praying for souls, and Father, thankful for truth. And God, we love you so much, and in Christ's name I pray, amen. Genesis chapter number 4, Eve was just told in chapter number 3 that, the prophecy there in verse number 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And then he told Eve in verse 16 of chapter number 3 that in greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. He told her that there was one coming who would change everything and destroy this serpent, the devil, that had brought this. And, you know, and we don't hardly think about it much, but in chapter number 4 now, we see that Adam and Eve have a child, and Cain is born, and she says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She may have thought, here he is. Right. You know, you're going to have a child. This child's going to destroy Satan. And, you know, perhaps she thought that. Of course, we know that wasn't what the will of God was. Cain was taught by his parents. Abel was born. We don't know how soon after, but she bore another child, Abel. We notice there in verse 1 and 2 that Cain, we know, and from the passage, what Cain, he was a tiller of the ground. Abel, in verse number 2, is a keeper of the sheep. But both of them would come and they'd bring their sacrifices. Now, we know this and we have to keep this in consideration. In Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 4, look at that real quick with me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. Look at that passage with me real quick, just so we all see it. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse number 4. Hebrews 11, 4 says this, by, what's the next word? Faith. Hebrews 11:4, by faith. Everyone see it? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being he being dead, yet speaketh. But notice what it says there, that Abel offered his sacrifice by faith. Romans chapter 10, you have to turn there. Romans 10 and verse number 17. Faith. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So if he offered his sacrifice by faith, then he had been taught and heard God's plan of redemption. He offered it by faith. So obviously in this passage of Scripture back in Genesis now, he's making his sacrifice, we know it from Hebrews, to be by faith. Again, when Adam and Eve sinned, God took that innocent animal. Its blood was poured out. That animal was sacrificed. Its skins were used to make a covering, robes for Adam and Eve. And their shame was covered. And again, I believe with all my heart, because Abel offered his sacrifice by faith, that God taught Adam and Eve what that symbolized. Because Abel offered his sacrifice by faith, that God had a plan. Cain's offering was not accepted. He did not offer it by faith. His offering was one of his own hands' production and his works. Abel would bring this lamb. And, many times we read and we don't think as well as we probably should. Abel, no doubt, loved this lamb. He had raised this lamb, taken care of this lamb, defended this lamb, fed this lamb. But he knew it was God's plan. It was God's way. And he took this innocent lamb and he took, no doubt, some sharp object and slit that lamb's throat. The blood would be poured out. It would be a messy sight. He would build an altar, start a fire. He would place that lamb upon that altar. It would be burnt. It would not be a pleasant smell. It would have been something really ugly and nasty to look at. It would have been a repulsive smell that would have came forth from it. No doubt clothes were stained, hands were stained. And Cain looked at that and said, "That's disgusting. There's got to be a different way." But sin is disgusting. We're not repulsed like to sin like we should be. And this would have been a repulsive sight to look at, but that's what sin is. So Cain said, "I've got a better idea. I'm going to work hard and I'm going to present God the best that I can grow." But the problem was this. Abel, his sacrifice was one of faith. Cain's, his offering, was one of works. And you have, in our outline, the first false religion. And I want us to look at this because it's important, because most every other false religion out there is based upon this same premise. That of a works and obtaining salvation by what you can do and perform. And so Cain did this. I want you to see a couple of things under false religion here. Number one, I want you to see the false interpretation of Cain's religion. The false interpretation of Cain's religion. In verses 1 and 2, I want you to see that, number 1, it was a purely human scheme. I say that because, and I know we know this, salvation revolves around three main points. If you're saved tonight, and I'm saved tonight, and I'm thankful for that, But if you're saved, it's because of three things: the Word of God, the work of Christ, and the witness of the Spirit. God's Word and what Christ did for us and what the Spirit has done through our faith that we've placed in the Lord. Cain's religion substituted all three of those. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We know what the devil does, and the devil's introducing a false religion here. And so we see, instead of the Word of God, we have this purely human scheme, something that Cain devised, something Cain wanted to do. It wasn't based upon the Word of God, because God's Word, when God spoke to Adam and Eve, and by faith, Abel, and faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? So Adam and Eve had heard from God what salvation, how it would come. We see the prophecy in verse number 15. That's why Adam called his wife Eve, the mother of all the living, because he knew that it was not just a death sentence, but there was life for all those who would believe. And so they taught their children this. And Cain and Abel were taught the truth. And Abel, by faith, because he had heard it, he believed it, and by faith he offered this sacrifice. Cain said, "This doesn't make sense to me. I'm going to do it a different way." We know the verses, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. "For by grace are you saved through what? And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of what? Works, lest any man should boast." In 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Without the shedding of blood," Hebrews says, "there is no remission." It takes the blood to cover our sins. Cain didn't like that. Cain thought it was no doubt disgusting or maybe repulsive or it just didn't make sense to him. And so he decided to do something different. As an outline here in verse number 1, you see Cain's birth. It says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." Then you see, secondly, you see Cain's business in verse number 2. And it says, "And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain, tiller of the ground." So here he is looking what he could do with his hand, and instead of listening to the Word of God, he devised this purely human scheme. Secondly, not just the Word of God, but the work of Christ. And instead of the work of Christ, you see a purely human sacrifice in verses 3 and 4. You see Cain's works in verse 3. "And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." Cain tried to ignore the work of Christ and the Word of Christ, and he wanted to do it his way. He wanted to offer what he could do. I said this a few months ago, that no doubt Cain's sacrifice cost him. Probably he worked harder than Abel did. Probably he poured himself out more than Abel. Abel had to keep the sheep, but tilling the ground and weeding and the bugs and the thorns and the thistles and all that had to be done, he put a lot of work into this. And no doubt he picked out early what he wanted to offer God, and he got his very best. He protected it, watered it, weeded it, and did everything he could. No doubt there was blood, sweat, and tears in what he poured out to make sure that he presented something that he thought God would be impressed by. That's Cain's works. But in verse number 4, you see Abel's worship. "And Abel, he also brought of the first things of the flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering." You see, this Cain's false religion was one of a purely human scheme. He made it up. He thought, "This doesn't make sense. I'm going to do what I can do." And then it was a human sacrifice. He did what he could produce with his hands. There are many denominations out there. There are many cults. There are many false teachers out there that are teaching a work-based salvation. Look at me. It's not the same as what we teach. It is not what this book teaches. Salvation comes only through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Yet there are many who are trying to work their way and earn their way to heaven, be it through the waters of baptism or being a good person. The majority of the people living around us in our community, when you knock on their doors and ask them if they're going to heaven, they're going to look at you and say, I hope so. Well, what do you base that on? I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to, you know, to be kind to my neighbors. I'm trying to keep my nose clean and keep myself right and all these different things. And it is very a noble thing to do, to try to live a good, clean life. But living a good, clean life will send you to hell if you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because one must be confronted with the fact that our sin has a price. And the wages of our sin is death. And Christ's sacrifice was not one of what the world would look at, and Cain would have no doubt, if he was disgusted by the lamb sacrifice, he would have been disgusted by the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus paid for on the cross of Calvary. As they scorned him and beat him and mocked him and they scourged him, that cat of nine tails, and they tore his flesh apart and every joint in his body was pulled apart from each other. You could not, the prophet said, even see that and recognize that that was a human man upon the cross. His body was so torn, so shed, and so split and wide open, every bone, the Bible says, stared at him. So you believe that? That's what it says. I believe his body was so torn. And the world says, that's disgusting, but that's what sin does. And Cain thought, well, I'll just do it my own way. I'll give God the best I can do. It was a purely human scheme instead of the Word of God. It was a purely human sacrifice instead of in the work of Christ and what He promised would be done. And then, instead of the witness of the Spirit, it was a purely human satisfaction. In verses 5, 6, and 7, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Now, I don't know exactly how this was transmitted to Cain, but Cain knew God didn't accept it. Cain knew in his heart God said no. When we're not right with God, got to make sure we know. And in Cain's heart, he knew God had said, I will not accept this. Cain got angry about it. Cain became very wroth. His countenance fell, the Bible says. You see, in verse number 5, Cain's anger, as it says there, Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. Then you see Cain's accusation in verse number 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth and why is thy countenance fallen? Did God know what was going on? Amen. Absolutely. But Cain no doubt brought as the best that he had, you know, be it the fruit, we've always visualized, I think from Sunday school, the fruits and the vegetables, but it was just the fruit of the ground. Maybe he brought some flowers, maybe he brought some herbs or whatever the case was, but I promise, because you see what he's trying to do, it would have been the best he had. It would probably, it kind of completely contrasted what Abel was doing. It would have been something beautiful to look at. Probably the aroma would have been somewhat pleasant. He just was doing it his own way, and God said no. And so Cain got very angry. And then God comes to Cain and says in verse number 6, you know, why art thou wroth? Why are you angry? Why is thy countenance fallen? God knew. He already knew that. Every time God asks a question, he's never seeking an answer. He's trying to help us to see the answer. And Cain, he got upset. He's trying to get Cain to see that, you know, this is wrong. You know why you're angry, because you're offering the wrong sacrifice. If you and I are saved today, it's because we recognize I am a sinner. Amen. We have to understand what we're getting, why we need to be saved. And he was trying to get Cain to see the fact that what he was doing would not accomplish salvation. So you see Cain's anger and Cain's accusation in verse number 7. I wrote down Cain's alternative. God's a merciful God. God said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. You know what he told Cain? He said, you know what's right. That's why I know they've been taught. He knew what to do. The Lord didn't have to explain what Cain was doing wrong. Cain knew what he was doing wrong. All he said to Cain was, if thou doest well. You know what well is. You know what you're supposed to do. And if you do it, Cain, it's accepted. He says, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So we all have a choice, and there's free will right there, amen? We have a choice. We know we have been taught the truth. We've been taught the gospel. The question is this, will you believe what the Lord Jesus Christ has said to us, that we are sinners, that Christ died for our sins, and that He rose again? The only difference between our salvation and Abel's salvation is he had faith in what was to come. We have faith in what has happened already. Amen. But it was yet the faith. And he said, Cain, if you'll believe this, it's good. But if you do not, sin lieth at the door. The wages of sin is what? And if you don't, Cain, destruction is coming. Sin is right there waiting. Again, he didn't have to describe what sin was. His parents had shared the story. They knew what sin was. And so God again reaches out to him and gives him this alternative. It says, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain, if you do right, I will use you. You will be the seed, the line that will bring this promised Savior. Amen. Cain said no. Because Cain wanted to do it his own way. Cain thought he had a better plan. So you see this false interpretation of Cain's religion. And then number 2, verses 8 to 15, you see a fierce intolerance of Cain's religion. We all know what happened. Cain wouldn't listen to the Lord. He continued down his own path. And if you're here tonight, you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, don't continue down your own path, because sin will destroy every time. But Cain did, and you note his faith, his false faith, his false religion is noted by 4 things, which false religions are still known for today. In verse number 8, you see force. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. He got mad. Abel no doubt told him, you're wrong, brother. You know what we've been taught. You know what is right. Cain said, I'm doing it my way. And he picked up something. Maybe Abel had something on him that was used to slay the sheep. Maybe just a rock. I have no idea. Maybe some instrument that Cain used in working the fields. But he killed his brother. In a lot of the world's false religions today, if you're not going to be like them, they'll persecute you, and the day is coming, and it has been in the past, and it's going on today in other parts of the world. They'll kill you. I saw this week that someone who professed Christ was slain in a Muslim country. Because he would not renounce his faith. And they killed him. Sent it to the media. The media sent it out. So what's going on? They said, if you don't believe like us, we'll kill you. I'm glad that's not the God we serve. Amen. He gives us a free will. We believe as a Baptist in soul liberty. That every person has that choice and a free will to make a choice. But false religions are noted by force. I could talk to you tonight for the next hour about all those who were persecuted. Hebrews 11 speaks of them. I could give you history of our Baptist forefathers who went to the stake, who were eaten alive by animals, who were impaled and lit at night as light lamps at night to light the path of the road. I could read you the story of the Waldensians and how they came in. And if they didn't renounce their faith, it would literally take their children or dad and mom, and they'd tie their limbs up to different machines and rip their bodies apart. And you say, that's gross, you shouldn't talk about it. No, we need to stop and consider what our forefathers did for us.
Right.
And maybe we might get a backbone to come to church on Thursday night.
Right.
But that's what false religion does. It uses force, intimidation, persecution, martyrdom. His false religion was noted by force. It was noted in verse number 9 by falsehood. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, what?
I know not.
He knew what happened. Cain knew exactly what happened. Cain knew exactly what had just taken place. What's he doing? He's lying to God. He's lying in the face of God. False religion has no issue with lying and just sharing and spilling and spewing falsehoods. Doesn't line up with the Word of God, but this is what we say. And they'll say these things and preach these things. Somehow at the nursing home service 2 weeks ago on Thursday morning, we got on the one of the ladies that I grew up Catholic. Who was that? That was Margie. She said, I grew up Catholic. She said, we always had an Apocrypha. And she starts, she goes, can you explain that to us? You know how many Catholics are there? I was like, whoa, right? So I explained it. When they teach things and other religions out there that teach that there's, you know, you can lose your salvation. That's not what this book teaches.
Right.
Purgatory is not in the Word of God.
Right.
A work salvation is not in the Word of God. Being saved by being baptized is not in the Word of God. But these falsehoods are being taught. These lies in the name of Christianity. That's what Cain was doing. Where's Abel? I don't know. Yeah, he did. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, you know exactly what happened with your brother. Force, falsehood, and then verses 10 through 12, futility. False religion is futile. It doesn't work. God would not accept his lie, and God didn't argue with him. And while I'm thankful that God is patient with us, and I'm thankful that God is long-suffering, and no doubt God takes things, and probably when He should smack me in the side of the head, He doesn't do it, and He's very patient. But listen, God doesn't deal with foolishness. He's not going to go back and forth and let Cain run it and be a pity party and let Cain, you know, try to, you know, back out of this. He doesn't even play games with Cain's lies. He knew Cain just lied to his face. He knew that Cain was talking out of one side of his mouth, and he knew the truth, and instead he went straight to the truth. It says there in verse number 10, you see the Lord's comprehension. It says, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. I said the Lord's comprehension because he knew what happened. He didn't look at him and say, oh, Cain, you know what happened to your brother. Oh, Cain, are you sure you don't know? He wasn't going to play games. He said, Cain, he said, what have you done? Your brother's blood's crying out. The Lord knows. And friends, we hide nothing from God. If you think you're getting away with something, you're not. God knows. You say, well, God hasn't done anything about it. He's a very patient, long-suffering God. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He looked at Cain and said, I know what happened. The Lord's comprehension, and you see the Lord's curse. There's always a curse with sin. In verse 11 and 12, I see in verse number 11, mercy. And I preached on this a few months ago. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt thou be in the earth. You say, mercy. I see mercy here. What was it that Cain was counting on and trying to earn his way to heaven with? The works of his hand and what he could grow. And God said, I'm taking that away. That was the curse. Amen. I mean, everything that Cain said was the curse, the Lord didn't say. I mean, a little bit of it, but Cain made it a whole lot worse than what it was. And I'm not belittling the curse that God did, but I see God's mercy here. Cain was saying he's bringing the offering, the flowers, the herbs, the fruit of his hands, and said, look what I've done, God, surely. And he sat back and said, look what I did. And God said, no. And he brought this and God would not accept it. So now God curses Cain by removing from him the ability to try his own way and work his way to heaven. I believe God was trying to reach him. You see mercy, but you see the man. Mercy, I believe the Lord sought reconciliation. But the man here in verse number 12, he knew. And he knew he'd be a fugitive and a vagabond. What that means is this: if you can't grow your own food, you're going to have to go around, find it, and beg it. You see, force, falsehood, futility, and then his religion ended, verse 13 to 15, with fear. And by the way, nobody look at me, that's where all false religion leaves people. Fear. I've got relatives that believe, that go to a church that teach that you have to earn your way to heaven and that you can lose your salvation. We've had many discussions, especially my dad, with them. My dad has said, so how much works do you have to perform? When do you know that you've done enough? Or on the other side of that, I mean, what sins cost you your salvation? When do you lose it? There are no answers to those two questions. So they live their life wondering, is it enough? They lay on their deathbed, and how many people do you think lay on their deathbed and say, I did enough. I'm confident. Very few. Because they struggle in being this human life just like we do. But I'm thankful that my hope is not in what I do and what I've done, but in what Jesus has done. And in Cain's false religion, it left him with fear. You see in verse number 13, he was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed. Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. False religion leaves you in frustration, a lack of hope, a lack of confidence, a fear. Cain was overwhelmed. In verse number 14, he overcomplicated. He said, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. God didn't say that. Right? And from thy face shall I be hid. God never said, I'm done with you. He didn't say it. He cursed the earth. He cursed the ground. He removed the ability to keep producing what he was offering up for salvation. He would have to be a vagabond and wander about and have to buy, trade, or steal food. But in verse number 14, he said, from thy face shall I be, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. True. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. God didn't say that. But he thought it, and he believed it. I'm confident he believed that. But that's what false religion does. It leaves a person overwhelmed and overcomplicated. Where are the lines? What's going to happen? How much? There's a Catholic lady that I've dealt with in one of our nursing home ministries, and she passed away at priest's funeral a few years ago. She was very staunch Catholic. She said, "How do you know you're going to heaven?" Because the Bible says, "My faith is in the Word of God. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God, the wrath of God abides on that person. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." I had many conversations with her and said, and she was wealthy, was Catholic, strong in her faith. But when she got sick, she said, "Am I going to be okay?" No. Unless she repent, she'll likewise perish. It's through Jesus Christ. "But I gave to the church." No. Amen. "Do I need to give more?" It doesn't matter. "I prayed. The priest gave me my last rites. Am I okay?" No. "Should he do it again?" No. I mean, went through everything. Her head was just spinning on it. She was grasping at everything that she had been taught. And none of those things would get anyone in heaven. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. She was overwhelmed and overcomplicated. But you see, Cain's religion, verse number 15, though, and I just want to leave it this thought, he was still overseen. "The Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." The Lord said, "I'll protect you. I will watch over you." And I'm thankful that God doesn't give up on us. Cain, and everything that we know, Cain never repented. The book of Jude refers to people dying and going to hell by following, quote, "the way of Cain." A work salvation. But God never quit loving him. And I'd be bold enough to tell you tonight, I believe, based upon the Word of God, that Cain's in hell. I think God still loves him. It's not what God wanted. "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" If you're here tonight and you're counting on who you are and what you've done and how you live to get you to heaven, stop. Get saved tonight. Faith. By faith, Abel offered his sacrifice. Because he knew the Word of God. He knew what God had said. He believed it. The world's first false religion left a man overwhelmed, confused, scared. That's what false religion does. Aren't you thankful for the truth? I'm thankful tonight that if I had to rest on how good a person I was, I'd have done messed it up today. But I'm thankful that my salvation and my hope is through the Lord Jesus Christ.